This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell, how you doing?
Not good, Jeff.
Yeah, that was a rough one, wasn't it?
Let's just jump right into it. I was looking at the stats this morning. That score indicates a lot closer game than what the stats reveal.
Well, I mean, the crazy thing is there was a point in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, I can't recall exactly when they scored. Saints were down 3 points, should have been two yeah. points, if not for a missed point after. If you get a stop there, and you get the ball back with a chance to tie or take the lead. The fact that it was ever in that position is actually kind of remarkable, and you know we have Colin Saunders to thank for that. That was it was one of the best moments in a game that you will want to erase immediately from your memory banks as a fan. Just yeah. watching that clip every time I watch it is just makes me smile, because just consider that a 320-pound defensive tackle intercepts the ball in the end zone, and his first instinct is, "I'm going to run." He was the longest interception return by a defensive tackle in Saints history. I think it was 37 yards. The second longest was Sheldon Rankins. It was 27 yards, I think, in the 2017 season. So that's where I'm going to start. Remember that game for that moment. Don't remember it for anything else, because, yeah, you got dominated up and down the field. They doubled you in time of possession. They doubled you in yards. They literally doubled you in points. It was 2-1 in every meaningful statistic in that game. And, Pat Mahomes, he's like a self-driving car. It's like, you don't really understand how it works, but he just never hits anything. He just navigates in ways that just don't make a lot of sense. And he always gets exactly where he needs to go, not an inch further, not an inch shorter. There was a 3rd-and-9 play in that game where he dove, the refs blew it short. He didn't even, like, question it. He was just like, yeah, we're going to challenge that. They're going to overturn it. I know I got exactly where I needed to go. It's just so calculated, and the Saints just were not. They were the exact opposite. Everything seemed like it was 3 yards off of what they needed it to be. Yeah, that's frustrating. And now you're looking at a three-game losing streak. I just looked this up this morning. So you've now had a three-game losing streak in every season of the Dennis Allen era. So we had a three-game losing streak in 2022, now one in 2023, and one in 2024. If you go back a decade, the Saints have made the playoffs 4 times. In those 4 seasons, you did not have any losing streak of more than 2 games, and that was obviously the 2017 to 2021 stretch where you made the playoffs mm-hmm. 4 times. In every other season they missed the playoffs, they had a losing streak of at least 3 games or more. So that's not a good thing. And you could say, hey, at least this one was early in the season. At least you have time to recover. But in every other season they have had a 3-game losing streak, they have missed the playoffs. So you are not in a very good situation right now, to say the least.
No, and then, you know, when you look at the injury picture last evening, it potentially got, and we yet to be determined, but could be way worse. Right?
Yes, Derek Carr, he said it happened on the last throw. I assumed it was on the hit. He came out, went to the injury tent after that incompletion of Mason Tipton. It was a 4th-down attempt where they sent an all-out blitz. And, it looked like there was a chance to make that catch. It was a tough one. He said it was actually on the throw that he did something to his oblique. You know, he said he tested it out. He was unable to throw effectively, and that's why he didn't go back in. That's obviously a big issue. You're already talking about a team that doesn't have the entire interior of its offensive line. I guess Lucas Patrick did play through that injury. He left with a, you know, I think there was some concern about his collarbone. He went to get it tested out, but he did come back. You ended up starting, or not starting, but you ended up playing Connor McGovern at center, which, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit. He showed up on Thursday, I want to say. Actually, I think it was Friday. I thought he played reasonably well. The one extended drive you had in that game that ended in points, it was Connor at center, and he clearly played well enough that when Lucas came back, they felt like, hey, our best option is to put him at left guard and keep Connor in at center. You know, the other scoring drive was definitely not a pretty drive. You had three rushing attempts for 1-0 and 1 yard, and then you ended up with a 45-yard touchdown pass through Rashid Shaheed. So not exactly, you know, what you how you draw up the offense. So I guess you can look at that as a positive is, you know, Connor is a veteran who looks like he can step in there and play center at a high level. So hopefully that helped you bounce back. But, you know, this season has been such a weird kind of mirror image of last year in a lot of different ways. You know, for the second straight year, you're looking at hosting the Bucks a week after Derek Carr suffered a kind of vague injury that we're not really sure exactly how it's going to affect him. And you desperately need to win this game at home. If you don't, things are going to get ugly really fast. You're 2-3 now. You got a short week coming up after this game on Sunday against Sean Payton's Broncos, who are going to try to tee off on the quarterback. They have a great pass rush there too, great secondary. It's not looking pretty. There's already been a firing in the NFL. This is one of the earliest I can recall, 5 weeks into the season. Robert Saleh of the Jets. I don't even. He must have just got off the plane from London, and the Jets decided to make a coaching change. So, it's definitely not a comfortable time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Carolina, I would imagine.
Yeah, there was a lot of criticism. I was reading, you know, some of the comments last night and about, you know, they abandoned the play action pass, but it seemed to me Kansas City's defense was just, they were coming on almost every play. Yeah, so, you know, they weren't going to be moved by play action one bit whatsoever, right?
Yeah, I mean, you only ran 51 plays in that game compared to the Chiefs 80. So there's a lot of things you probably wanted to do that you just never got to because you can't really – it's tough to run play action if you don't get a first down, right?
Right.
Your first play of a drive is typically not going to be play action. You set that up and then you hit it. They did take some – they did go for some shot plays. That was part of the game plan. I think, you know, when you look at it, the grand scheme of it, the number of shot plays relative to the number of passing attempts in general, which was 28, is actually a high percentage. So you were trying to get the ball down the field. Problem is you got 26 yards on 11 carries for Alvin Kamara, right? You can't average 2.4 yards per attempt and expect anyone to honor your play action. Like that, your run threat was not a threat. You ran for 46 yards in that game. That was always going to be the recipe for this season is you got to establish the run. You hit him with some play action, you hit him with some bootleg, you get everything moving one way, it goes the other way. That was how they got their touchdown to Foster Morrow. It was kind of a misdirection where you got the defense flowing one way, you worked back and you found Foster in the end zone. It's tough when you're playing from behind and you don't feel like you can pass protect. My big question was, how you got to find ways to get the ball to Chris Olave. Like, you have a star wide receiver. You find ways to get him the ball. There's no scenario where you know, two catches for 10 yards on four targets should be happening. And there were some situations. There was one long pass play to Chris that got negated by, you know, a couple penalties, and that would have been a nice gain. There was a couple plays that you were trying to get him the ball, but it got blown up. Chris Jones, you know, it was like they were triple teaming him all night, and he was still winning. So, yeah, it's tough to look at that game and say, well, they should have done this, they should have done this. Nothing was working. And again, that's why the fact that it was a 3-point game in the second half is just kind of remarkable.
Interestingly, Kareem Hunt runs 27 carries, 102 yards. Mahomes, in some of these games, I think has been the leading rusher, if my memory serves me correct. He had 22 yards, which is kind of unusual because he's usually up in the 40, 50-yard range. And it seemed like they just didn't have an answer for their running game.
They didn't have an answer for a lot. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, Mahomes went 28 of 39, 331 yards. It just seemed like they were toying with them at times. That 50-yard pass to Juju Smith-Schuster when you needed a stop was kind of brutal. But, no, I think their inability to stop the run has been one of my bigger concerns to this point. Because, yeah, you shouldn't – Kareem Hunt is not at a point in his career where you should feel like, you know, he's going over 100 yards. You know, he's averaging – he only averaged 3.8 yards a carry, but they were hard yards. It felt like they were running for 4 or 5 yards on first down. They were able to do all the things the Saints weren't, right? They were able to generate positive yards on first down. They were able to, you know, run the ball for first downs, right? When you go back and look at that game, just look at how many times the Saints were in 3rd and 6 or longer versus the Chiefs in 3rd and 3 or shorter. And, you know, when you can run for first downs and you feel like that's going to work for you, it's going to be a long day for the defense. There was a drive in this game that the Chiefs had 2nd and 34 and got a first down. Think about that. That's crazy. It was just not your day. And, you know, this game really reminded me of the Rams game last year. It's this national television game where I felt like the Saints just got outcoached. It didn't look like they were ready to play. It was ugly.
From your perspective on the sideline, it just seemed to me we were always in the wrong place. And it was kind of weird. It just seemed like, well, where's the coverage here? You know, and it was like once the guy received the ball over the middle on the left side of the field, I forgot which way they were going, but there was like not a single defender on that side of the field. It's like, where is everybody? You know, so like, you know, it just seemed like they were always in the wrong place.
Yeah, well, I think not having Pete Werner was a factor. You know, I think they were kind of targeting Anthony Orgy a little bit, and I don't know if he handled it particularly well. Pat Mahomes also has a way of making you look real stupid on defense. Like, it's just what he does. Yeah. He's able to extend plays so long beyond the point where you can expect your defensive backs to cover. I mean, if you're trying to send extra pressure, you're trying to get him off the spot, but you're sitting in zone, and if you're sitting in zone and that guy's just bouncing around and extending the play, he's going to find somebody eventually. That's what the Chiefs do better than anybody. There was one point it seemed like, you know, like Pat Mahomes kind of hit like the B button in Madden. He just did a spin just to do a spin. It was strange. It worked. It's like everything he does, again, it's like he's like a self-driving car. It's like, I don't know how he's able to do it, but he's just always able to navigate. And what makes him so effective is not only is he able to extend the play, there's a lot of really athletic guys who can extend plays and make defenses scramble. What Pat is able to do is he's able to scramble and extend, but he can always throw. He is never off platform. So when he sees somebody breaking open, it doesn't matter where they are, he can get them the ball. And that's what makes it so frustrating. Because, you know, you got him kind of frazzled, got him on the run, and all of a sudden, yeah, it's a 30-yard, 40-yard gain. It's got to be infuriating to play against. It's definitely infuriating to watch. But that's what makes him great.
There was one time that he ran left. He took 2 steps forward, then reversed and went backwards. And it was though the defender didn't even know what was happening. And, I mean, I can only imagine how frustrating that is. And then he ran, ultimately ran left and ran right around him and then throws the ball down the field. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, they successfully boxed him in. He went right, went left, went forward, came back. I mean, it was just
– it's crazy. And I wouldn't even call him the best athlete in the world. Like, he's not Lamar Jackson. He's just he's just always balanced and always able to throw. It's He put on, I would say that was one of his better kind of footwork games last night, for sure.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it seems as though they had the Chiefs had something to prove. They went about a game plan that really made sense against the Saints, and I think our injuries really revealed themselves last evening. I don't know what your thought. You mentioned that briefly earlier, but I think that it really came to the forefront that without our full complement of folks, we are definitely, you're always a little bit less than, but it seems like it was more so last evening than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, particularly on offense and in the pass protection. Like, that's just, it's become very clear with this team, and I think that was, you know, we knew that going in. If you can't run the ball, this offense is going to have a really hard time. We saw it against the Eagles. We saw it again last night. You know, if you cannot generate positive yards on first and second down, you're just not going to have success on offense. It is really that simple. You've got to find a way to do it. I thought they ran the ball a little better as the game went on. You still didn't find anyone beyond Alvin Kamara to have much of an impact. Jamal Williams had two carries. One of them went for 9 yards. So that's got to be, you know, this week I've got to find a way to generate a running game. Got to find a way to get Alvin Kamara the ball in space and let him go to work. And if you can do that, I think you have a chance. If you can't, it's going to be a long season.
No doubt. At 46 yards rushing, that's not a whole lot for sure. Jeff Nowak, as always, truly appreciate your observations. WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Big game this Sunday against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.